Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This is God's word.
Well, good morning. At this time, we'll look at that passage together, but before we do, let me pray specifically for our time in God's word. Father, we thank you again for the privilege of coming together and worshiping you. We thank you for this time that you have set aside for us to pray together, to sing together, and to all sit under the teaching of your word. We pray, O Spirit of the living God, that you would come and meet with us, speak to us, help us, we pray, to understand your love, to understand what you have done in time and history, and to understand how our lives should be shaped by what you have done for us. We thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is, as many of you know, the time that is called March Madness, even though it's April. Some of you stayed up late last night watching the madness of the Michigan basketball team and how amazing they are. A lot of murmuring, a lot of, yes, that's amazing, amazing. Well, if you've watched the college basketball March Madness over the years, you will know of this character by the name of Coach Jimmy Valvano, Jimmy V as he's known. Jimmy V coached North Carolina State, leading them as huge underdogs to the national championship in 1983. But he's most well known for 10 years later giving a speech when he won the Arthur Ashe Courage and Humanitarian Award. He was diagnosed. He was in the final stages of a battle with terminal cancer. He steps up on stage and he gives the speech. And in that speech, he said these words: "Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you, and God bless you all. Don't give up. Don't ever give up." So it's known as his "Don't Ever Give Up" speech. And after he gave the speech, 2 months later, he passed away. I think Jimmy V was summoning the spirit of the Apostle Paul, or maybe speaking from the same spirit, we could say, as a man of faith. Here's the way one person paraphrased Paul's words. They sound a little Jimmy V-ish, as the Message by Eugene Peterson summarizes or paraphrases this passage from Paul that Julie read for us. Here's what Eugene Peterson says: "So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now, they are real, and they will last forever." So as I read that, even as I say that phrase, small potatoes, I'm a little embarrassed. Like, I don't like that part of it. But it's an amazing paraphrase of this passage. We're not giving up, Paul says. And he has all these reasons for why he is not going to give up. So first, main theme for us this morning, very basic, but we do not lose heart. It's Paul's big theme here as he starts. We are not a people who give up. We do not let weariness overtake us. We do not faint or falter. Whatever comes, whatever happens, whatever life has for us now, Paul is saying, we don't give up. We don't give up. So this phrase, lose heart, implies if we do lose heart, we give in to the bad, or we allow hardships to overtake us. Right, lose all spiritual motivation, give in to fear and to despair, throwing in the towel. That's what Paul is saying. That's what losing heart is. Just life is too much. This is too hard. I've lost heart. I've given up. Now, I mean, there are times, of course, where we falter in heart, right? We falter in heart, or I don't think this is really a phrase, but we fumble in heart. And I use that because I think that's a good picture of we drop the ball. We fumble the ball. Like life hits us hard and we drop it for a time. Our circumstances are such that it's a fumble, but as followers of Jesus, the risen one, we can say with Paul, we do not lose heart. We do not give up completely. We are a people, Paul says, who do not lose heart, who do not give up. I think it's important. I think Jimmy V is a good illustration of this. Here's a guy who understood pain. He understood physical limitation, right? His body was being ravaged by cancer, taken over. He knew he was going to die just days after the speech, but he could say in faith, I'm not going to give up. He understood the difficulty is my point. And Paul, the same. Paul did not live a life of ease, right? He says in these verses, he uses that phrase, light and momentary affliction. And I think it'd be easy for us to think, man, he's just talking about some minor scratches, maybe like a sunburn that's a little bad, right? That's not what he's talking about when he uses the word affliction. This is being crushed. Great pressure upon him, right? It's heavy, heavy, difficult affliction. In the ancient world, the word was used to describe the process of crushing grapes or olives. This crushing, right? He's saying, we do not give up. We do not lose heart, even though there's all this pressure. Life is so difficult. I'm facing these things. We do not. He says, lose heart. We do not give up. He says in an earlier chapter in the same letter of 2 Corinthians, describing his life, describing his ministry, he says this, we are afflicted, affliction word, crushed in every way. We are afflicted in every way, but not completely crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul was a man who understood hardship, trial, difficulty. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was starved. He was imprisoned. So he lived with this heavy, heavy affliction. So we can't minimize. My point is here, as he says, we do not lose heart. It's not like, well, yeah, I've had a few scratches and sunburns along the way, but I'm okay. That's not what he's saying. Deep, hard affliction. So how do we bring this to our lives? It shouldn't be that hard, right? You know where we should go with this. When you look at your life, each of us face different things, but one application here is physical hardships that come. Paul says here, your outer self, our outer self is wasting away. So this does refer to what happens to our physical bodies as the years pass. Aging, sickness, disease. Paul is saying, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't. Even though it is so hard. It's tempting, right? I had a conversation just a few weeks ago with a man, not from here, another pastor whose wife was diagnosed with MS. And as we're talking, he's coming to tears because the one thing that we really deeply connected and loved to do together, every vacation, every time we could, we would go on hikes. And that is taken away from me. That is taken away from us. But Paul could say, yes, it's very heavy, this affliction, but we do not lose heart. Whatever physical affliction may come, even think Jimmy V, cancer comes. Yes, it's hard. What I love about the Bible is its realism. It doesn't minimize that. deep, hard affliction, but we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. So we can think of physical things. I think we can think of relational pressure, relational difficulty with friends, with spouses, as a parent, as a child, all these different dynamics and how life can cause us to get right up to the edge, right? I've been there, right up to the edge. We drove late last night to about 11:30. I was like right here teetering over like, I just want to give up. Like, can you please just stay in Dayton in a hotel? I want to give up on this drive, right? I can't do it, right? But when we think of the things in life, so often we get right up to, I just want to give up. Paul is pointing us here to this truth, to this reality that keeps us from falling over the edge and giving up, throwing in the towel. Randy Alcorn says in one of his books, our afflictions are heavy, and they may be rock of Gibraltar heavy. Your afflictions this morning may be rock of Gibraltar heavy. But, Paul goes on to say, the eternal weight of glory is like putting the planet Jupiter on the other side of the scales. That's why Paul can say, we do not give up. That's what he's saying in this text. So let's look now. That was, we don't give up. Now, why we do not lose heart. What does this text say? Why don't we lose heart? He points to a new dynamic in this world, the resurrection renewal of Christ. He points to something being prepared for us, this eternal weight of glory. And he points to a deeper physical reality. It's not seen now, but it's a deeper physical reality. Look at these verses, starting verse 17 again. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So first, this dynamic that is at play in this world, that's at play in your life. It's the resurrection of Jesus. If you look at verse 14, right before these verses, he says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. The reason, no matter what happens in life, even the heaviest affliction, the reason we do not give up is because Jesus is the one who has been raised again from the dead. Because he has been resurrected. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. So we do not lose heart, even in the deepest affliction, because he has risen. He is risen indeed. And the way Paul brought that into our lives, the way we are to bring that into our lives, the way he counsels us, we can go back to his first letter, and he speaks of the reality of the resurrection. He says, Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. The first fruits. So yes, Jesus, we know his story. You're here this morning. I assume you know the story of Christ. He came, he died. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And we are in awe of that truth. But the way Paul brings that into our lives is that because Christ died, because he was raised, you will be raised with him. And so we don't give up, whatever may come, because his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. When we put our faith in him, we follow him. First fruits is this idea that when a farmer plants his crop, right? When the harvest first, the first fruits, right? The first fruits start to come up. He takes that crop and he can take it to the marketplace and say, here's my crop. So it talks about the quality of the crop and the crop is coming. So Jesus is the first fruits. He was raised again from real death. And Paul is saying, so will you. If you are in him, you will be raised too. You will follow him in this resurrection. So we don't lose heart. We don't give up. Because Jesus died and was raised, and in him we will be raised too. He is our first fruits. He has defeated death. So this dynamic affects us now. when our hearts falter, right? When we're really close to giving up, when we fumble, right? When we kind of fumble our hearts in a sense, what are we to do? We're to go back to this truth, to this reality, to this dynamic that is at work, that whatever comes, whatever I face, whatever may happen, as I age, as I face the sickness, as I hear about this, whatever happens, this is the center of all reality. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was raised again from the dead, and by faith we will be raised too. This dynamic changes everything for us. I love how this is illustrated through Tim Keller, pastor in New York, who died a few years ago, as he also was facing a terminal illness. And I love how he describes, as he's going in for surgery and struggling with a lot of doubt, a lot of fear, like heavy, heavy affliction, we could say. And this is what he writes in one of his books. In the moments before they gave me the anesthetic, I prayed. Because of fear, because of doubt. To my surprise, I got a sudden, clear, new perspective on everything. It seemed to me that the universe was an enormous realm of joy, mirth, and high beauty. Of course it was. Didn't the triune God make it to be filled with his own boundless joy, wisdom, love, and delight? And within this great globe of glory was only one little speck of darkness, our world, where there was temporarily pain and suffering. But it was only one speck, and soon that speck would fade away and everything would be light. And I thought to myself, it doesn't really matter how the surgery goes. Everything will be all right. Me, my wife, my children, my church, we will be all right. I went to sleep with a bright peace on my heart. This is the renewal that comes because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That even in the darkest of circumstances, facing, probably for Tim Keller at this point, he probably knew it was certain death, but he could go to sleep with a bright peace on his heart. Because as the classic hymn says, Jesus lives, and so shall I. Jesus lives, and so shall I. So first, this why don't we lose heart, this new dynamic. But secondly, why don't we lose heart? If you look at these verses, what is Paul's second reason here for not losing heart? This light momentary affliction, verse 17, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. He calls them light and momentary afflictions, again, not to minimize them, but in comparison to what is coming in this new resurrected real physical reality, in comparison, the scales just crumble, right? Crushed to one side. God has a purpose in our afflictions now. They are not outside of his design. All things really are working together for our good. Satan wants us to see our lives now as pointless and meaningless. But Paul is pointing to a connection, and this connection is true, again, because of the resurrection. And if we come to faith in Christ, every single thing that happens in our lives, every affliction, every hardship, every difficulty, is a part of God preparing for us. John Piper calls this a peculiar glory, a fitting glory. Right? He uses our afflictions, he uses our hardships, big and small, to prepare for us this eternal weight of glory. So again, Paul, why don't you lose heart? First, the dynamic of the resurrection changes everything. I always have hope. I'm a person of hope. Second, every affliction comes from a loving hand with deep purpose. You think of what comes in life, and I think there's this deep battle in my mind, in your mind and heart, where things happen and it's so easy to get to the point of just, I'm gonna give up. I can't handle this. This seems so pointless and meaningless. How could this happen? How can this person do this again and again? How can I be treated like this? How can this difficulty, how can these things happen? And there's this battle that goes in our minds. Will we listen to the voice of Satan who's saying, this is pointless, this is meaningless, God doesn't care about you? Or we listen to the truth of God? This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We have to come back to that again and again. God and his good purposes, even in our affliction. So first, this new dynamic of the resurrection, that's why we don't lose heart. We're brought into the resurrection. Second, something is being prepared for us even through our affliction. And then third, there's something more weighty ahead of us. And this is verse 18, as we look now to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I like the way in... if I can find it. I like the way that the message, maybe I can't find it, summarize that. It's right here. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. We have to be very careful here. Paul isn't saying, physical stuff now doesn't matter. Just think about spiritual stuff, right? Just these spirit. And even Jimmy V, is, if we were going to be nitpicky, I think Jimmy V is a great example, but a little bit of his statement is like, yeah, my soul. No, his physical body will be restored in Christ, right? There's real resurrected body. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about time. Right? Even though you can't see what is coming, this real, certain, physical, substantial, weightier reality that is coming, that's what we look forward to. We just can't see it now. It's not less real. Does that make sense? I love the way C.S. Lewis in The Great Divorce pictures this. He talks about people in heaven being more solid. And the story is a bunch of spirits from hell go up to heaven just for like a day visit, and they can't step on the grass because it's so strong and power will go through them, right? And they can't lift up leaves, right? Because they're so heavy. That's what C.S. Lewis got this from Paul. There's a greater reality before. So we don't lose heart because Jesus lives and so shall I. We don't lose heart because everything that happens, even the daily afflictions that weigh so, there's a purpose, and we don't lose heart because of these unseen things now that are substantial and weighty and real. Many of you know we were just in Florida just this past week. It's hard to look outside and imagine that there's a place, right, like St. Augustine, Florida. There's beaches, there's sun, there's heat. But I can tell you, it's real. I was just there. Like, I don't know if I still believe it, but it's real. And you can go to my minivan, and half of the beach is in my minivan. Like, I can show you that. But that's the point Paul is saying here. This is real. We can hold on to this hope. Jesus lives and so shall I. Every affliction that comes, big and small, serves a purpose, and we hold on to the resurrected reality that comes through Jesus. Paul, in another passage in Romans 8, says very similar things. Let me read these verses, Romans 8, beautiful verses. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. It's just no comparison, this real resurrected reality. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For this creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, so corruption will be no more, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This is our hope as we gather on this Easter morning. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. How amazing that Jesus was willing to come and to die and that God, 3 days later, by the power of the Holy Spirit, raised him from the dead. We celebrate that. But we also bring it into our world today and each day, this resurrection renewal. We do not lose heart. We do not give up because of these realities. Paul can say at the end of his first letter to the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." This is our hope. My prayer for us as a community here is that we would live in light of this resurrection renewal, and that we would walk side by side as brothers and sisters, encouraging each other, because we all know we often get right on the brink of, man, I just want to give up. I'm about to lose heart. That we can come alongside each other and encourage each other in light of the resurrection of Jesus. May we be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, because we know Jesus lives, and we will follow him in that resurrection life. Jesus often said, "Come to me, trust in me." I think we have this picture of Jesus saying, "This is for you." This morning, if you do not know these realities, Jesus says, "Come unto me, come and find this life, find this resurrection renewal, and live in this hope." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this passage of Scripture that gives us courage, that encourages us when we can be discouraged. We thank you for the death and resurrection of Jesus, and we pray as we go into our week and each of us face different weighty afflictions because of pain, because of people, because of ministry, whatever we face, Father, because of ourselves even, we pray that we would know the truths of these verses, that affliction serves a purpose. Even when crushing circumstances come, you are creating beautiful things in our lives. Help us to trust you and help us to live in light of the resurrection of Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.